Mr. Garrett and I were talking and laughing, and I shared with you yesterday that her and I together tried to make up for Sister Shoemake. And this morning she said, you know, we didn't even have to do this. We could have just brought your husband. He can sing, preach, and cook. He could have done it all. I don't think he thought that was very funny. But it is definitely my privilege to be married to this great man. And he tells me that I'm spoiled. And I told him he married me young, so if I'm spoiled, it's his fault. So we want you to come. I call him babe, so you can know who I'm talking about.
Thank you, babe. It's great to be in the house of the Lord today and with all you fine ladies. And have the honor and privilege of speaking into your lives. I thank my wife and the committee for allowing me to do that. And I do count it a privilege and an honor to be here. Have you guys had fun this week?
Yeah!
And that marketplace, man, they're turning that into a real deal. Pretty soon you're going to be able to buy your vacuums there, and hoes, whatever you need. One-stop shop.
There you go.
You got it all.
Yeah, it's so wonderful to see all of you ladies having such a great time and fellowship. And these times are important.
Yes.
They're very important. Important for you and for the growth of our district.
True.
Ladies of our district, a very, very important part of the district.
Yeah.
And appreciate all the wonderful input and all the wonderful things that you have been a part of. And I know, having grown up in the church, that if it wasn't for women, we wouldn't be where we are at in the church. I promise you. I can remember when me and my dad and my brothers were probably the only men in the church a time or two. And women have been so instrumental. Being sensitive to God and being used of God in many different capacities. Amen. I give honor to my wife, my girlfriend, my best friend. She's my first wife, too. I was bragging on her on Mother's Day at the church, and when I got to the row, I looked around, she wasn't even there. Sister Missy said they did get it on tape, though. But she's incredible, and we've been on a journey together, and not over yet. Jesus hasn't come.
Right?
I sure thought he was going to come before I could get married, but he delayed his coming just for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. That was my one of my deepest fears as a teenager. Oh God, don't come before I get married. Praise God. Thank God for a prayer answering God. My wife's an incredible lady, and she is, I promise you, a lot more vocal at home. She preaches to me on the way to church and on the way home from church. And there I find what I should have been doing, could have been doing, and what God should be telling me to do. All I can say is, amen. The churches should be thankful that I have mercy more than my wife. Amen. Praise God. Let's go to the word of the Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to be with you and speak to you. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. All right, gotta hurry. All right. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 and verse 35. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, He said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this wonderful gathering of your people here today. God, we pray your blessing upon each of these as they travel home to their local churches. God, let your presence emanate from them as, Lord, they bring what has been put into them back to their home churches. Bless today in your word, we pray, and walk with us together. Lord, help us to see what your word is declaring to us today. We thank you for it. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. God bless you. May be seated. Some time ago, I was reading an article, and it caused me several moments of contemplation, and from that I bring these remarks today. The article wasn't about what I'm going to talk to you about. It was just a statement in the article that provoked me to great thought about this. And the statement was this: the Apostle Paul warned us of men who have no marks of the cross in their lives. And that was the statement. Paul, in his writings in the New Testament, warned us of men who would not have, and when we say men, of course, in the scripture, we're talking about men and women, that people would have relationships with God, would have experiences with God, but that there would be no marks of the cross in their lives. And I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning on this in the form of a question. This question I'd like you to ask yourself as I speak this morning. Are there marks of the cross in your life? Are there marks of the cross in my life? Amen. And so this statement, when I read it, I was reminded almost immediately of the experience that we read in the scripture of Christ carrying the cross. And after hours of being scourged, whipped, and mistreated, without sleep, food, or probably anything really to drink, here he is compelled to lift this cross, to carry the own instrument of his own death, and then to take it outside of the city limits, this cross that he would ultimately give his life. And so it is that this cross that he carried would have been impossible to be borne without leaving some kind of mark on him. In the process of carrying the cross to Calvary, he eventually, in his weakened physical state, begins to stagger and to bend and bow under the load of such a situation that he has encountered. And in the process of time, someone else is called out of the crowd, someone following close, and his name is Simon of Cyrene. He is called now to pick up the cross of Christ, to carry that cross on his own back, and to bear it the rest of the way until the fruition of Calvary takes place. John chapter 19, verse 17, and he, bearing his cross, went forth to the place called the place of a skull, which is in Hebrew, Golgotha. And Luke chapter 23, verse 26 says, and they led him away, and they laid hold on one Simon a Cyrenian coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Amen. The world that we live in, our world, our culture today, leads us to buy into the philosophies of pluralism and nihilism, so that people today have become rendered almost incapable of making certain certain directional choices in their life, taking a certain path.
Right.
Many paths are placed before us, many choices, and we today have been lured by our society in the idea and thought that we can travel many paths and we can make many choices and we can do many things. And yet this is really not so. This, coupled with the embracement of our world of narcissism, which causes us to see the words of the Apostle Paul fulfilled when he said, amen, in the last days perilous times shall come, and that men should be lovers of their own selves, heady, high-minded, boasters, proud, incontinent, fierce.
Yeah.
And these all having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
Yeah.
This warning of the Apostle Paul was culminated by the admonition, from such turn away. That is the world that we live in, the perilous times described by the Apostle Paul. And our world is trying to so distract us with the many choices of life. Jesus, on the other hand, calls upon you today to choose him and to choose the path of Christ. And the path of Christ is to follow in his footsteps. He, amen, chose a cross that we who were dead in our trespasses and sin would be raised from that incurable sentence that had been passed upon us. And we, like Christ, following in his footsteps, are called upon today to also, amen, to bear the cross and to pick that cross up. When you consider the actions that have been taken against Jesus Christ in his scourging, the plaguing of thorns pressed upon his skull, the beating of his back until the blood flowed upon it, and all of that, amen, when Christ picked up that cross, that was transferred to that old piece of wood. And there upon that cross came all the sacrifice and the evidences of what he had borne in his passion. And so when he staggers and falls under the load of the cross, amen, he is then transferred to one Simon Cyrene. Amen. This Simon, compelled to carry the cross of Christ, when he lifts the cross up and when he places it on his back, that same blood, that residue of sacrifice, it's transformed upon him. He will always, forever, from this day forward, be marked by the experience of carrying the cross of Christ. Jesus said it. Amen. It wasn't a TV evangelist. It wasn't a radio evangelist. It wasn't some man that said it alone. But Jesus said it. If you're going to be my disciple, you will take up the cross and you will follow me. Amen. You see, today we want it all. We want religion. We want enough to make us feel good, take care of our problems, give us, amen, a source of strength in times of need. But we want to live our lives and go about our own way and do our own thing. And that's not what Christ has called you to do. Jesus Christ has called you, amen, to one path. Amen. That path is the path of the cross. If you are my disciple, he said, you will take up the cross and you will follow me. We, like Simon, have been compelled to carry the cross of Christ. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. And Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. For whosoever shall save his life and will lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Does that sound like two pathways, three pathways? Amen. A multitude of choices. Jesus simply puts it clear, concise, black and white. If you're going to follow me and be my disciple, it's the way of the cross. Amen. It will involve the carrying of the cross. And you will have to choose whether you're going to save your life and then lose it, or if you're going to be willing to lose your life for Jesus Christ, and in doing so find it. There were marks of the cross on Jesus. His experience in that whole setting, from being arrested in the garden until his crucifixion moment, there was the marks of the crown of thorns. These long thorns being pressed into his brow, which would undoubtedly cause the blood to flow. It is the smitten back with a cat of nine tails that would rip the flesh and leave its mark upon him. It is the scourging of those to whom he is coming to die for. Can you imagine, amen, being called on to acquiesce, to back off, to change in the midst of the very most important act, amen, of all mankind? And that was that lamb being slain to save them. The people who were to be saved scourged him. They ridiculed him. They called him to come down off the cross. All of these things lead and did leave a mark. Even the very nails that were piercing his hands. Amen. Because when we see Christ glorified, and Thomas makes the declaration, I will not believe unless I see the prints of the nails in his hands. There in the glorified Christ, amen, is the mark of the cross. Amen. That is still there. You can grasp that. Amen. That even in the glorification of Christ, the marks of the cross are still in evidence. Amen. In the body, the glorified body of Christ. When the scripture says we shall be likened. Amen. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That says to me that the marks of the cross in your life, amen, will carry themselves forward into your eternal experience. Amen. I don't think we understand sometimes the significance of what happens in this life. But the things that happen in this life that involve the choosing of a path that Christ has laid forth are things that are of eternal value, and you will carry them into eternity. Amen. There were marks on Simon's back, or on his person, of the cross as well. Amen. There was the transfer of blood. There was the friction and the strafing from carrying the cross. It's not a comfortable thing to carry crosses. It is the bending and the bowing under the weight of it. And then the identification of being Christ's cross carrier. Can you imagine how he was marked for the rest of his life? There goes Simon, you know, the one who carried the cross of Christ. What a thing to bear. Amen. The mark, a glorious mark in this case. A mark of carrying the cross of Christ. Amen. So also, as Simon was compelled, as I mentioned, we are compelled. So also in our lives, the mark of the cross begins with the transfer of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And when we take on the wonderful, lovely name of Jesus Christ in our baptism, amen, we are in fact taking on, amen, the blood of Christ into our lives. Hallelujah. I don't care how many people try to tell you it comes at repentance. It cannot come from repentance. Because when you call on the name of the Lord in repentance, amen, you are doing what you do and what I do. And if that were possible, then, amen, you and I could save ourselves. We wouldn't need Jesus, would we? But it is the precious blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Metaphorically today, when we take up Christ's cross, it leaves marks on everybody that carries it.
Right.
Amen. We need to understand something about this path of Christ. And we need to come to terms with it. It is different. It is a different path. It is a different life. Amen. But it is the difference that makes the difference. I don't know why we always seem to try to want to mold it into our thinking and into our convenience and into our own desires so that we can have the illusion of the cross in our lives and yet deny the power of it. We need to understand today that the difference is the difference. We need to quit fighting against being different. Amen. We need to quit fighting against, amen, the path of Christ and let God's experience and presence in our lives carry us. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. The mark of difference in our lives comes when we encounter the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things. Everybody say all things.
All things.
Oh, not some things. All things. Amen. Become new. Amen. And all things are of God. It used to be all about us and all about living and all about life. But now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. Amen. When we come to God, we come to be changed. When we come to the cross, we come to be changed. If our lives were so great and so wonderful before we began to serve God, then why did we come? We're forgetting what it was like out there. We're forgetting about what it feels like to go to bed condemned.
Yes.
Amen. We forget about the stench of sin that was upon us and the degradation. Amen. It's time for us to remember that the difference is the difference. I came to be changed by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The process of salvation brings change. We cannot follow after our natural flesh and desires like we once did. It got us nowhere then, and it'll get us nowhere now. Amen. The difference is the difference. We begin to walk in a new direction, becoming new creatures, new creations. The mark of commitment. Amen. Not only is there the mark of a change in our lives, but there is the mark of commitment.
Yes.
Amen. We are enjoined by Jesus to deny ourselves.
Yes.
Amen. That would make good for a good TV evangelist to preach on. Denying ourselves.
Yeah.
This prosperity gospel that's going around has nothing to do with denying yourself. Amen. It's a feel-good message. It fits human logic and more important, it fits human desire. And it's not of God. Amen. The mark of commitment. We began to own the marks of Christ in our lives. Amen. We begin to wear the marks of discipleship. Amen. All things are passed away. The old life. All things are become new. New direction of life. Amen. Priorities. Everybody say priorities.
Priorities.
Priorities change. And then they are defined by your relationship with Christ. Disciplines. Oh, don't we like discipline? Self-discipline. Disciplines becomes a characteristic of a disciple. Amen. Say, well, we don't want that business. We don't want any of this discipline business. I want to live my life the way I want to. Well, you can. God's given you that free will choice. Amen. But it just so happens it's not the path of Christ or the path of the cross. Amen. If you have lived for God for any length of time, there should be measurable marks in your life of the effect of the cross of Christ. Amen. You should be able to look over your shoulder and see changes and commitments in your life that do not stop, but that continue to grow stronger and more steadfast and unchangeable in your life. These are marks of the cross in your life. I've told the church on several occasions, probably now over all these years, but when I was working in the lumber yard, one time there was just one of those special moments, you know. And I was witnessing to a co-worker, and he was asking questions. You know, they opened the door. Boy, they're free game, aren't they? So I was just answering every question I could and trying to help him understand what we're about and what was happening. And about that time, another co-worker walked up and joined the conversation, started listening to begin with, and then joined the conversation. And finally he said, told the other fellow that I was talking to, he said, I'm a Christian too. And this is the precious moment. Every once in a while, the Lord rewards you with these moments. And the co-worker of mine looks at him and says, I would have never guessed. Oh, I'm just jumping up and down inside. Because I knew he went to the same bars with him. He went to the same parties with him. He carried on in his life with him. They did some things together. I'm telling you something today. Amen. We need to understand that the cross was meant to make marks in our lives. And the third mark I would talk to you about today is the mark of separation. We see the marks of change brings separation in our lives. Amen. And the separation I'm talking about is the separation between our world and ourselves, our culture and ourselves. Funny thing happened when I first met the district board for my local license. One of the presbyters asked me this question. He said, well, brother, kind of looked over his glasses and said, well, brother, what do you believe on separation? Well, I missed what he was talking about. I said, I don't think any marriage should suffer separation. And I don't believe in divorce either. And he just so happened to be a very austere individual and very, very, very conservative individual. And he just looked at me, and he just said, never mind. And they sent me out the door later with my license. So just to be distinctive today, the separation I'm talking about is the separation between the world that we have been called out of and the life we now live. Amen. And so the Lord has called us to in the disciplines of a disciple. You see, that's what a disciple is one who is disciplined after the disciplines or teachings or doctrines of someone else. And so he has called us as disciples In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." So the scripture invites us to bring a certain separation. You cannot be a disciple of Christ and live in the world after the dictates and the philosophies of our world. We are called to come out. Now let me preface this by saying, I thank God for our Pentecostal ladies. You have carried the brunt of visible separation. And I applaud you for that. The men kind of, you know, they can go undercover. I mean, somebody might notice they don't cuss. They don't carry on. They don't run around on their wives. They don't do this. They don't do that. But they don't see a visible sign. Now that trend's changing, folks. Because of this gender swap business going on. And our society's been hard after for many decades now. The blurring of the lines between gender. Ladies, you need to be thankful that God made you the way you are.
Amen.
I think ladies should be ladies and men should be men. Not namby-pamby, boys. I think men should be men and the ladies should be ladies. And you know that the reason why God is so interested in this gender thing is because, as I mentioned, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when I had the opportunity to speak to you, is that we are role acting God's plan. Amen. The man, not that he is God, but he plays the position, he role plays the position of God, and the woman is the mirror, or is to be the mirror image of the church. And so it is, if you understand it that way, it is understandable that women have playing such a large role of visible separation in the world. And I applaud you for that. I do. Because it's a mark of the cross that you carry. But today we are being influenced by so many things that are after us. And as I mentioned, the roles are starting to put a little more pressure on the guys. To look like, live like, act like, talk like, walk like men. Amen. God is interested in this gender thing. In fact, it's essential to him. In the beginning, God made one man and one woman. And out of that came the nuclear family, which God intended. And so it is today. God, amen, and his church and those that are born into the church are that representation. And so what you do is not only important to the church, but most important to God.
Right.
Because you are representing the church of God in this world.
Amen.
Amen. And so I applaud you for that. But we're living in a day today when your world is saying, "Oh, that's old-fashioned. That's out of date. You don't have to live that way. You don't." And they come up with this idea that it's legalistic. Hello?
Yeah. Yeah.
That it's some man's idea. It's antiquated. You don't have to do that today. That's not grace.
Amen.
You know what today's philosophy in the Christian world of grace is? Amen. Coming right out of Calvinism, right back to Augustine. Amen. And it is the basis and the roots of a grace that costs us nothing, that places no demands on us. And once we are irresistibly saved by God, we can never fall away from grace. Hence, there is no real necessity for us, amen, to walk in this world with marks of the cross in our life. Come on, we got to understand some real stuff's going on out here. Amen. Some real stuff's happening in my life. Amen. Real things are happening. And if you're going to sleep and don't understand what's happening, you're going to buy into the philosophy that you can have a form of godliness and deny the power of God in your life. Amen. And so we are bearing the marks of separation. And we are separated wonderfully from our past sinful habits and practices. Aren't you happy about that today? We are separated from an antichrist world which is driven by that same spirit. Amen. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Amen. And finally, in the mark of separation, and here's the problem that some folks never get. We are not just separated away from the world, but the Bible teaches us that we are separated unto Jesus Christ. Amen. When you understand this is about my relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not about just representing my church. It's not just about doing what my pastor says. Come on now. You might have started out that way when you began to live for God, and that may be a good thing, but you got to understand, amen, this is about me and Him. Amen. This is about my relationship with God. I do what I do because of Him. Amen. I live the way I live because of Him. I bear the marks of the cross in my life because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And so it is. I need to hurry on here. I'm already over time. Marks of the cross. Amen. And you know what? You want to, sometimes the church has been intimidated so that we want to kind of fly under the radar of the world. Yeah, we don't want to stick out. And I know that that's something that we, by human nature, always deal with. But you know, Peter wanted to as well. In the book of Matthew chapter 26, verse 69 through 75, amen. Peter was standing without the palace, and a damsel came to him saying, "You were with Jesus."
Yeah, right.
We want to fly under the radar, but somebody comes up and say, "Hey, you go to that church down there. You're one of those folks there." I had a fellow tell me one day, we were working together on a house project, and I'd hired him to come help me, and lunch break, we got sitting down talking, and he said, "You know," he said, when I was back home in Brunswick, he said, "We used to have these people years ago that we used to call Holy Rollers." I said, "Really? Tell me about those folks." And so he told me what all he thought, and he's out of another persuasion, and he just filled me in on what he thought about all these Holy Rollers, and I finally said, "Hey, that's who we are. That's us." And he was shocked. But, you know, Peter wanted to fly under the radar. He wanted, at this point, amen, Christ was being judged, and he's separated from Christ, and they came to him and said, "Hey, you were with Jesus. Weren't you one of those disciples with Jesus?"
Yeah.
And verse 7, he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what you're saying." And again, they said, "Hey, wait a minute. We seen you there. We recognize you." And he says again that I had nothing to do with it. And by the time the third time comes around, he curses to try to impress on them that he really isn't with him. And denies him. And about that time, the rooster begins to crow. And he remembers the words of Jesus. "Before the rooster crows in the morning, you will deny me three times." You can't fly under the radar and have what Jesus Christ offers. Because this is the best life. would be worth living for God in this world just for the benefits that we receive here. There is no better life than living the apostolic life. I'm not saying it's an easy life. I'm not saying it is not without its challenges, its sacrifices, its costs. But what is worth more in our world and in our thinking? What's a high-end purse? What? Louis Vuitton? I say that right? Louis Vuitton? But what's worth more, a Louis Vuitton or a knockoff?
Right? Yeah!
One you're going to pay $40 for, and the other one you're going to pay what? $800?
$1,000?
How much? Thousands. My Lord, have mercy, that's a sin. But now, people in our world, they want knockoff religion. But it isn't what it is. It just got a little insignia on it that makes it look like it is. And they copied something that was an original. Folks, we're the original. This is the designer church. God designed it right from the beginning. Hallelujah. Amen. And God bought and paid for it with his own blood. Hallelujah. And if you're going to carry the cross of Christ, amen, that is going to be emblazoned in your heart. It's going to permeate your life. And there will be marks of the cross of Jesus in your life. Amen. Thank God it was terminal with Peter. Because just a few days later, he would be in an upper room. Now Peter had his problem. He didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. Some of us have the Holy Ghost, and we're still trying to get away from the marks of Jesus Christ. Cross. But Peter stands on the day of Pentecost and preaches the first apostolic church day message. To stand there now is no longer not trying to be identified. Those gathered there that day from all over the known world says, what does this mean? And Peter, standing with the 11, says, this is that the prophet Joel spoke of in the last days, said, God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He learned that to be identified with Christ is essential to being a disciple of Christ. In the 4th chapter, the 13th verse, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Christ. We know there's nothing notable about these men except they have been with Christ. And that's what I'm talking about today. The world needs to see the marks of the cross in your life. You can say you're Christian. You can say you've been saved. But the question is, are there marks in your life of the cross? What commitment have you made lately to Jesus? Did you stop doing that a long time ago? Or are you still finding that place in prayer? Say, Lord, what do you want to do? How can I be more like you? What's your will for my life? What direction do you want me to go? Making commitments, marks of the cross in our lives. Let's stand together. And they perceived. They perceived that they had been with Christ. If there is any one thing that we could go home to our local churches with today, of all the things we did this week, if somebody could just say, man, I can tell you've been with Jesus. I can tell it. Because when we're in the presence of the Lord, we are changed. We, as beholding Him in a glass, are changed into that image from glory to glory. Praise God. You want to, one last time, do you want to look in the face of Jesus Christ for a few moments as we worship the Lord? Could we do that today? Could we look into the eyes of Jesus for a few moments? Could we look and be changed today? Hallelujah. Can we be challenged today? Can we allow God's presence to mold us and shape us today? Hallelujah.